You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.
Hello and welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Survivor News Edition, episode 146, Words Matter. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and thank you so much for tuning in this week. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. The Purple Pants Podcast is there waiting for you to subscribe, giving your baby boy some 5 stars and writing a review as well. You can follow along with this audio podcast to YouTube and watch the video. Bryce Isaiah, hit subscribe, give the video a thumbs up, and let us know in the comments what you think. We are excited. The trio of your baby boys is back. Wendell Holland, Jack Atkins, and myself are breaking down Survivor Season 42, Episode 2. Okay, so listen, it ain't really much more for me to say. Let's get into the Survivor news. And we are back this week with your Survivor news. All three of your favorite baby boys are here. Let's formally welcome the baby boy that is Jack to the Atkins from season 2 of The Circle. Welcome back to the podcast, Jack.
Good to be here as always, Bryce. And, you know, we got Wendell back this week, so super excited.
Yes, let's give a warm welcome to the win that is the DZ, the winner of Ghost Island, the first boot at Winners at War, and apparently did not last long on the CBS The Challenge.
Oh, the first boot on the CBS Challenge.
Yes, there was speculation going around on Twitter and on the YouTube comments that you were not here last week because you were on the challenge. Can you speak to those rumors?
I cannot confirm or deny said rumors.
Oh, shoot.
You know, I gotta like be extra posting when I go places so people don't speculate. So I was in Jamaica and it was clear that I was posting in Jamaica, and I even brought back some
aguata.
Water.
Wata.
Aguata.
Wata. Wagwan.
Listen, and here's the thing though, Wendell. I'm glad that you enjoyed your vacation, but you do not have to call me 12 times a day while you're on vacation.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, because every 5 seconds, hey, Perp, I'm in Jamaica.
No, you were calling me, Perp. No. And hey, Perp. You were texting me, and you were trying to text me with a Jamaican accent. talking about Bumba Clot. Talking about Brooke up.
Okay. No lies were told there. But anyway, we are back. season 42 is here. We are covering episode 2. Welcome the Purple Pants Posse. Welcome our YouTube listeners and watchers. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button. Okay. Give this video a thumbs up. We greatly appreciate it. Before we get into all of that, hey, Wendell, do you have any buffs?
No.
Hey, Jack.
You don't got buffs, Wendell?
I do have some buffs, actually, but Bryce told me to say no.
No, I didn't. Jack, do you have any buffs?
I may have brought a few buffs today, Bryce.
Oh.
I got them strapped up.
Yes.
That's all. I realize I only have red, green, and yellow buffs. I don't know why, but if you want the haul, I got you.
Jack,
I didn't why? I feel like Thanos in this.
In why this yawn. Do you have a sleeve of buffs? Does your arm have any circulation?
Yeah, so that's why I said, Bryce, we got to do this bit fast because I might lose feeling in my left hand. You know, this is just years of fandom.
So are these the buffs that when you met Xander, is that how you did it? Hey, Xander, you want to see my buffs?
Yeah, I mean, we had that beer pong tournament, like I said, so I was tossed in the whole time.
Oh, my God.
You happen to ask, what's on your arm, Jack? No.
Oh, my God.
It's like a shooting sleeve, you know what I mean?
Like
basketball. Oh, Wendell okay. gets it.
That is not a...
Yes,
no.
That's not
before,
a...
Before yeah. I lose my circulation, I'm going to take them out. But this is the one from South Africa with you guys.
Oh, hey. I can only imagine what that arm smell like, Jack.
We got the Luzon, best tribe in Cagayan.
Oh, don't hey. Do that.
Hey.
Can't tell them all, but we do have a buff from the new season, though.
Oh, wait. So you order buffs, too? Well,
some of these are from like the events that I've done, most of them. So,
or you just go to buffs.com and order a buff.
I'm trying to save my bread. This one, I think you'll think this is funny. My dog chewed this one.
Damn.
My dog ate my homework. And then we got the new John. And then we got the 41 John.
Oh.
Let me find out.
Not Jack from Philly with the John.
John, yeah. Let me find out, Jack.
I'm picking up some things. Oh, yeah. But anyways, you would like that, Bryce.
I appreciate it. And I imagined the buffs to be on the wall. I did not imagine when you met Xander for you to be like, do you want to see my buffs?
No, I had them in my special buff storage area. Yeah.
I am done. But listen,
keep them on ice.
Okay, keep them fresh. But listen, we have our moderator, Wendeezy, back. So let's kick us off. Well, first of all, Wendeezy, you weren't here last week. What are your thoughts on season 42?
Season 42. I love this cast. You got it. The cast is a lot. It's people from everywhere that have done everything. Very diverse cast. And I enjoy them. There are a couple big strong guys. Bryce, there are a lot of like nerdy types out there too. So I think that this is a cast that we haven't seen a cast like this in a while. Mm-hmm. And I do like that. And I like that, again, kind of like last season, I feel like there is someone for everyone to root for in this cast. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
I am too. Before we break down this episode, I have to ask Jack a question because our Instagram Live took up a lot of this. And Jack is the know-it-all that Jack has of Survivor. So Jack, you know, if you don't know, I didn't make the merge.
Okay.
And you know, I was the third boot out on my season. I lasted 11 days. And this thing is going around being as though someone was medevaced and they were technically the first person to go home. There mm-hmm. is this like, you know, people are saying that the person that will go home tonight is not technically the third boot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jamal was on it, our Instagram Live last night, and Jamal was saying it is words matter. And so I should stop saying third boot. But for me, like,
regardless of what I say, it's still the third boot. And even yeah. Jeff says the third person eliminated tonight. So I would just like from you, the almanac of Survivor sleeves.
Time out.
We'll take it.
You also said someone was medevaced, which wasn't the case.
I mean, y'all
continue. Okay. Because words matter, but continue.
They do matter. But here's the thing, though. If you know what I meant, do they matter?
Sometimes.
Yes.
Okay. So someone had to leave the game. Mm-hmm. So technically they were not booted. But they still left. And if you are leaving, you are still booted.
Yeah. I think that the person, I'm not to spoil yet, but the person that goes home this episode, I would consider that the third boot. Not okay. The second boot. They're, yeah. But I mean, third person out, I guess you would say.
Okay. So that, and for me, it's very near and dear to my heart. And I trust a person that has yeah. a buff sleeve. So listen, over a first merge boot. So
so you just say you want to confirm that this is the correct, you know, boot that you're welcoming to the club.
Welcoming to the club, because this is a very elite club for me. And some people think that I'm joking, but like, listen, I champion the third elimination club because there are not many third people in Survivor.
There's always a third.
There are not many that can do what your baby boy has done. And I want to champion more people and more love to the third eliminated. It's Bryce, not the end of the world.
Bryce, there are more third boots than winners in Survivor.
Huh?
It's true.
Wait, no.
Sandra and Tony went in twice.
Why didn't you make him think about that?
Oh,
we would have watched.
He's still thinking about it. No.
But that's
like, who's Sandra?
But that's not the case. But no, because they're still winners.
But it's one person that.
But
won
they. But two
times.
Things can be true at the same time.
No, Bryce.
Bryce is saying that the third boots are winners in their own right.
Yes. No. Even though there are less people. Because then how do you account for the third boot that played in a returning season? But no.
This is
no.
like us arguing about time zones, Bryce. No. We're not going to get anywhere.
No, but this is what I am saying. You're saying there are more third boots out. Okay, listen, I'm right. Y'all not. I'm not taking advice from somebody that has a buff sleeve.
You just said you were taking the advice a minute ago.
And somebody that was the first merge boot off of Winners at War. Okay.
The first merge boot. I'll take it.
Now, if this was Jeremy or Tony, it would have some coof to it. Anyway, let's get
this words matter. Is that anyways, the title of this podcast?
Words matter. Yes.
We got a great Survivor episode to recap.
I need some water.
What we're not doing.
Yeah, man.
Baby boy.
Bless.
What we are not.
I'm staying away from this.
Yeah, Jack. Don't say a word.
Words matter.
Bless.
Well, actually, I'll do British.
Yes, to a British one. Okay, listen. The people came. Well, first of all, let's shout out to the Jack Stan.
There's just one. There's just one of them, isn't it? Just one Stan.
The stands that love Jack in the comments, we live for it. It's literally in our group text message that we screenshot it and send it to each other, and Jack gets elated for his stan. So we appreciate it.
Is it the Jack Hive?
Oh.
Whoa. It's the Jackbox.
The Jackbox.
Okay.
The Jack Circle.
The Jack Circle.
The Jack Sleeve.
Dangerously close to the
Jack. So the are Jack we doing this? Is it the Jack Sleeve, the Jack Circle, the Jack Box, or the Jack Hive? We need an answer from
Jack Shack.
Oh, okay. That's another one. Jack Shack. Jack Sleeve, Jack Hive, Jack Circle.
Okay. And so listen, the one Jack member Fox. Of the Jack Army, please let us know in the YouTube comments what you prefer to be addressed as. Because words matter. Mm-hmm.
And now on to the episode. Can we begin? Permission to proceed.
Let's go.
Yes, indeed. Shall I proceed?
Yes, indeed.
I'ma throw shade if I can't get paid. Throw you up to your girl like an army grenade. You can slide on my ice like an escapade. And itchy yaya with the marmalade. Who, me?
Not you.
Oh, yes.
Who's he?
I even dig your man style.
But I love your profile.
Whisper in your ear and get you all shook up.
Don't rush.
Keep this on a hush. Sorry,
I know
Jay.
You see me in
anytime
the video.
It's a little Kim. True.
I know you heard me on the radio.
True.
But okay. Still do.
We done.
To the left. Okay.
Slide to the right.
I know that one.
Crisscross. All right. Listen, if anything is true about the Purple Pants podcast, it's a mess, and welcome to the mess that is the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News. We are back in action. The baby boys, it's been a while since we've been together. Baby boy, Wendeezy, what's on your sleeve of this episode?
On the sleeve of this episode, we start off coming back from tribal. The Ika Blue Tribe comes back. They just voted out Zach, and Romeo says, we made Tori feel comfortable. That's what we needed to do because Tori was kind of like shaking in her boots a little bit. She was on the chopping block. I think she's going to be fun to watch because she's an interesting castaway.
Does she give you? She reminds me of Sarah Lucina. I feel like Tori is strong. And I feel like
I've been getting not the Sarah Lucina, but the Angelina.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the one.
So far.
That's the one. Okay. Maybe a mix of Sarah Lucina and Angelina to make a toy. We'll see how it goes.
Toralina.
I hope she leans more towards Angelina because Angelina was hilarious to watch. I think we're going to get some good content from Tori. But we had a Tori confessional where she said that she was kind of sad that it was Zach. She felt bad for him, which... that's very nice of her, but if it wasn't Zach,
yeah, it was going to be her.
I wish I would have had the Tori mindset on Kagyan.
What was your mindset, Bryce?
Me.
Well, then we jump over to the Vati tribe. Vati tribe. Yes.
That was my reminder to submit my exam, but I already did that. So we're all over the place today.
I think that was the alarm stopping me from my Jamaican accent. So yes. It was good. So the Vati tribe, the green tribe, we have Jenny and Chanel looking for food. They find a hermit crab. And I was like, I was a little weirded out.
I'm here for it.
You're here for it? Because tell us.
I'm just saying, during my 11 days on the Solana tribe, when we got rice and we found hermit crabs, Jeremiah and I put them in the rice. And our hermit crabs weren't as big as theirs. They were some big.
Those were animals.
Huge crabs.
They were some big boys. And they were able to suck the claws. Hey. However, putting it into the rice, it made it seem as though like you were eating crab rice.
That's what you were eating.
I mean, what
else? But it was like a delicacy.
It was like a delicacy. Yeah. It was like good.
Yeah.
Shout out to my girl Chanel. She was giving cousin Bryce vibes because I was out there cooking. I saw her doing her thing.
Chanel, yeah, you got a confessional from Jenny. Jenny's like, I'm a city girl. Chanel's like, I live in the city too, but I guess I'm the provider, so I'm going to provide. And yeah, they started eating the hermit crabs. What I remember from eating a hermit crab on Ghost Island was, I think I got the claw, and to me, it tasted sandy. So I think I had a bad experience the first time, so I never tried it again. But it looked like they were enjoying it.
I wouldn't let that deter me from having another claw in my mouth.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So what do you guys think about everyone eating and then High sitting there kind of conflicted?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was sort of the first moment of this episode for me. I really enjoyed it. It was so character driven. We had a lot of great character moments. And this was sort of that first one where we get a look at, you know, High's character as a vegan is very that doesn't eat meat. But it also has that dilemma where he wants to sustain himself. And especially with no rice this season, he realizes you kind of got to enjoy whatever the tribe gets. And, you know, ultimately he ends up eating it, which I mean, everyone has their own moral stance on that sort of thing. But for me, it's like the tribe is going to capture whatever they can and kill it anyways. So for High, it's like you might as well get a little bit of that and sustain yourself because you're not hurting any extra animals is the way I looked at it. But I don't know, Bryce, what did you think?
I got a question. To that point, I'm sorry to jump before you, Bryce, but to that same point, wouldn't vegans, you know, not on the island, if they're sitting at dinner and they're like, all right, that animal was already killed, we're not killing any more animals, maybe I should take a bite of it?
But that's, I feel like that in the general world, I mean, so in the general world, if nobody was vegan, there would be more demand for meat. So that there would be more supply. So the people would then, you know, breed more cows or whatever to kill. Whereas on the island, it's a limited supply. So the demand doesn't matter because you're going to, you know, I study economics.
Come on, supply and demand.
That's about all I know. But yeah, so I feel like it's a little bit different because, you know, however many vegans are in the world, that's lowering, you know, the need for meat. And so I feel like fewer animals are getting hurt. But hey, that's more steak for me. So I'm not even mad at it. But
very nice, Jack. I appreciate that.
It made me think of you, Wendy, when you were getting ready to go out because you were Presbyterian.
We are naming this podcast Words Matter for certain.
Presbyterian. That's a religion, bro.
I mean,
Pescatarian. Or maybe he was Presbyterian.
I mean, he was, you know,
two things could be true at one
same time. And so I remember
Baptist
and non-denominational. But I remember that was a concern of you because who was your trainer for season 40? Actually, you know what? I don't even want to take that title. But
my good buddy Bryce, he'd come over. We'd go swimming. He'd make me run in the pool.
I was in charge of your food. I was
going to give you strategy tips.
I don't do that.
Gave me all the strategy tips.
But you made it
mean out there.
You made it past the third elimination.
Yeah.
Wait, was this for Ghost Island or for Winners at War?
Winners at War.
Okay.
We would get up 5 a.m. We would go to the pool. I would legitimately have him swimming in the pool and I would like time him. We would go running. I would
Coach Bryce.
I was hyped.
You were on the side with a whistle. Go, Wendell.
I really was though. But that was a concern of yours because you weren't eating meat at the time. You were only eating shrimp.
Mm-hmm. And now, fish. Bryce, here's my thing. Can we just say I'm lucky that you didn't train me before Ghost Island?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. Cause this podcast can take a left real quick because I'm gonna keep it cute. Cause words do matter.
Keep it cute. So as we were saying.
But I thought it was great. I thought it was, for me, honestly, seeing High somewhat stand to his ground. I love that in his character build. However, I feel like you're on Survivor. And guess what? Like at this point, every little bit matters. Every little bit of piece of meat, everything matters. And I think that it, like, you know, ultimately seeing him get on board with eating it because it would do the best for him and building his strong muscles. Like, I thought that it was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting to see him battle that dilemma, though. That's like something we've never really seen on the show before.
And so emotional. And we have seen this before where someone did not eat meat. Now, I'd be lying if I could tell you the season, but
wasn't Ty trying to protect the chickens?
The chickens, correct. Shout out to Ty.
I know on season 40, when I was on the Blue Tribe.
Pre-merge.
I mean, don't worry, I made the merch. But when I was on the Blue Tribe, Selly, we won chickens at some point, and I didn't want to eat them because they were giving us eggs, and it was just something else around camp, like something to look at. But they wanted to eat the chickens, so I said, "Look, it's my vote to not kill the chickens. But if you know, it's a democracy. If y'all want to kill them, and I will eat a little bit of the chicken." So.
Yeah. Supply and demand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we go to the Orange Tribe, the Taku Tribe. We have Marianne, this wonderful character of a young lady. She's chopping bamboo. She it's kind of showing this imagery of her energy. She's she talks a lot. She has a lot in her. And Lindsay says that can kind of rub people the wrong way. So I don't know what that might be foreshadowing, but what do you guys think about Marianne?
I mean, I think Marianne, like you said, is a ball of energy and such a sweetheart for sure. But like Lindsay said, and I think Mariah kind of echoed this while they're out there, you know, you're out there full time with Marianne. It could start to get to be a lot, especially when you're, food deprived, sleep deprived. You're probably a little bit more irritable. So when there's just constant, you know, energy, it's a balance. Cause I'm sure when you're out there and you're tired and hungry, that sort of fun energy and someone with so much positivity, that's something that could really keep you going. But a lot of times I'm sure it gets to be a little bit much, just the constant 100% that Marianne, that level that she stays on.
When I thought of Marianne, I thought of Game Changers with Tasha and Abby Maria. I feel like that, yes.
Second chances.
Yeah, yeah. If y'all know what I meant. But I appreciate it. No, but what I am saying is that, like, I definitely, first of all, we love Marianne. I think that she is amazing. I love her energy. I love her innocence. And I love her, like, tenacity. Mm-hmm. I think that it can be a lot. And I think that it will rub a lot of people the wrong way. However, if I'm on that tribe with her, that is somebody that I'm going to put my feelings aside because if I know that she is rubbing people the wrong way, I am keeping her with me no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good take.
I'm a little between on that though. Cause when I was
your ally.
Well, yeah, obviously I do think Marianne, I mean, fast forwarding the vote a little bit, not to get too into it, but when you're weighing between, you know, Marianne and Mariah, is it, or is it Maria?
Mariah.
Mariah. I mean, I think Mariah strikes me as someone who's going to be very, very loyal, whereas Marianne has so much energy and I do think she is going to be loyal, but I could see a situation where, you know, you go to the merge with Marianne, you're starting to get annoyed by her, but all these people that have been watching her throughout the whole pre-merge just love her because she's so funny and so positive and they get that little glimpse of it. So maybe there's a situation where if Marianne's your ally, like you're starting to get a little bit of fed up with her and then you hit the merge and all of a sudden all these other people are like, oh, Marianne, you're so fun. Like, come with us. Whereas Mariah is a little bit more low key, older, of course. So it seems like she is kind of one of those players that we see a lot of time, that older woman figure who a lot of times is pretty loyal and can end up, you know, bringing them to final tribal council and someone who's a lot of times is pretty easy to beat. But I mean, that was a debate going on in my head, but I think they're both very good allies to have, Marianne and Mariah.
I just disagree with the mom. The older woman sometimes is not always easier to beat. It, like sitting at the final three, they have a great story. So, and if y'all are saying that, that I'm about to say, Abby Marie, if y'all are saying that Marianne, like, oh, you get to the merge tribe and people love her. If she's keeping the same energy, give it a night or two. So, I mean, again, I'm just saying, if I'm on this original tribe with her, I'm not going to let that energy scare me away.
Yeah.
There will be a time that I'm going to have to cut ties, and I need to know when to and when to hold them. When to put, I don't know how the song go.
No when to walk away. No when to run. That's all I know.
You never count your money. It's a gambling song. I know it. So.
I got something about Marianne, and y'all might have to help me think this through. But when I start to see this Marianne, this young, energetic person, I start to think about JD. And I think, like, is she almost this evolved JD where you had this person that was very talkative and everything, but he wasn't making the right plays and he wasn't. Whereas she is, it seems like her talkativeness, yeah, it's rubbing people funny sometimes, but it also puts a lot of smiles on people's faces. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's something to her that kind of reminds me of like JD 2.0, but the JD that can have a better run in the game.
I see that parallel. And I do think JD was a very fun player, but he was kind of infusing his energy into his strategy. And I feel like trying to do too much and trying to run the game. Whereas Marianne, so far, hasn't been super strategic, but that's probably to her benefit because she, whether people love her, whether she annoys some people, it's going to be different, but she is going to be someone that I feel like is much more reliable and you're not going to be super worried about her scheming behind your back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that point that you brought up, Wendell. And, you know, every chance that I say it, I'm going to get a chance to say it. We've never seen characters like or people on Survivor like JD and Marianne. And just shout out to the diversity of this season that we get to see the spectrum of what Survivor players really look like. So I love the fact that you just brought that comparison up because you're right. We never saw a black player like JD before, and we've never seen a black female player like Marianne. And I love to see it, and I love to see how far she will go. And I want to see what is going to happen of it. But I love to see these quote unquote character types and how they will do in the game. I think that it's great.
It's almost like we're throwing the whole archetype thing out the window.
Right.
And you're just grabbing people. Mm-hmm. And what I find very interesting about this cast, you only have one black man on the cast, if I'm not mistaken, but we're looking at this cast. It's so diverse. It's a beautiful thing. Like I love how diverse it is. And I think that's just going to make for this. Mm-hmm. It's just going to make for an awesome series, I think.
And what stands out to me comparing to 41 is both seasons were great in their, you know, ethnic diversity. But I feel like this season, just the diversity of, like you said, character types, archetypes, like everyone's so different. Whereas last season, I felt like there was a lot of, you know, pairs and things like that where there's so many people on this season that feel so new and fresh. Like it's just so different from the classic Survivor where you have a lot of athletic people, a lot of attractive people. This season it's a little bit different. Like there's not as many athletes. There's more like normal looking people, I guess you would say. And it's really given us something we haven't seen before.
The spectrum of the LGBTQ plus for me, I love it. Mm-hmm. It's just to have a trans man, to have more than one gay player. Like, I love it. And what I love is that, like, you know, the two people that come to my mind, like Romeo and High, they're completely different. Like, they are like, you know, it just excites me because it's like, yes, let's break down these stereotypes and let, like, and High came to play. Romeo been surprising the heck out of me. And I'm here for it. Sorry. Okay.
And there was once a time where there'd only be one LGBTQ person on, you know, and now this is showing the diversity of that community. Like, I think it's beautiful. But if we shall move on a little bit on that same Taku Orange tribe, we get Omar announcing, saying to the tribe that he's Muslim, saying he'll be praying, saying that he doesn't have sex, he doesn't drink. And Jonathan says, if you have any questions about Christianity, you could ask me. And
baby boy, for me, allyship, I think of this. When Marianne said, do you want me to pawn from you a prayer carpet? Like, for me, that it don't get no better than that. You don't have to understand. You don't have to believe, but to show respect, and not only show respect, but like, you know, Omar basically saying like, hey, guys, I pray. And when the sun comes up, I don't want y'all to think that I am looking for idols. I love the honesty. And I love Marianne stepping up to say, like, you want me to make you a prayer pawn front? Like, I love to see stuff like that, because it's like, model for us what the world should be like, please.
With and I think he might have even said after 9/11, the world changed, especially in America, toward Muslims. And for Survivor, again, to show his story, to show the kind of person he is, the things that he does, show him smile, like show all this beautiful imagery and of all these different people helping him out, or just being there for him. Hey, like you said, Bryce, allyship. I don't know what it is, but I'm here for you. And here, as Marianne did, she made him a prayer carpet out of palm fronds. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, this Orange Tribe has been amazing to watch, because I think they were so, like, they, I feel of all the tribes, and a lot of the tribes we've seen in recent seasons, they're almost the most cohesive group. We see even last night, like, it really seemed difficult for them to have to vote someone out, whereas other tribes, you know, they're kind of always scheming and everything. And it's, there's such a cohesive unit, which is great to see, because they are such from all different backgrounds that you would never necessarily expect these six people to come together and really click like that and have those like campfire chats all together where they're having a good time. And I think that's sort of just the epitomization of what we're really looking for and what we're enjoying in this Survivor season in 41. So it's definitely been really awesome to watch, and all those dynamics. I mean, you have a Muslim man, young black girl, a trans man, you have the Hulk, Jonathan. Like, it's just, you just got a little bit of everything. So,
and just shout out to the baby boy Omar, because a little birdie has told me that he is a member of the Purple Pants Posse.
Okay. All right. All right, Omar. Respect.
It's an Omar Stan podcast.
Might have to be. We'll add him. He's in the list of contenders for this to be the Omar Stan podcast. So if we move on, we then go over to the Blue Ika tribe, and you have Drea pulling Tori and Swathi to the side, saying that she wants to do a girls alliance, and sharing that she has an extra vote. What do you guys think about that?
I was rooting for you. We were all like, I like Drea. I think that she is she reminds me of a Desi Williams. She reminds me of a Tasha. But my thing is, girl, are you a fan of the show? I just feel like I'm a player that roots for the girls. Like, I want a female winner bad. However, I feel like 26 days, a monster of the show, like, you got to be mindful of that. Like, that, like, I think I was even talking to Jack about this. Like, one, now you're betraying Hai and Tori. So now that's a whole nother target on your back for even revealing this. And now I feel like it is a lot of power, and I don't feel like she should have revealed it this early.
I completely agree. I don't mind her going to the girls and just trying to get that set up. Like, why wouldn't you? You know, you have three girls to two guys at this point. Just put it out in the water. But the way I view advantages as a potential player is I really never want to share my advantages or my idols. I could see situations where it makes sense, but the worst time, and we've seen this on 42, we've seen this on 41, the worst time to reveal an advantage to someone is as a method to pull them in. If you want to make an ally with someone, go be social, make that ally. And if you feel like you need to share it with them, You can share it with them, but don't go up to someone that you're not that close and would be like, hey, I got this. Oh, I just gave you information. Like, I trust you now. We're close. Because as soon as you reveal any advantage or idol or anything, that it's either going to be you go to the end with those people, which is rare, or they tell other people about that information, and then that information is going to get used against you to your detriment. So it's just like, for me as a player, if I were playing, the only time I'd ever reveal an advantage or an idol is say, I need to make a big move. And I have, you know, an extra vote that's going to swing the tide, but my allies don't know that. So they don't, you know, want to make a tie or whatever. So I go to them. I say, hey guys, got the extra vote. We're good to go. And then they're gonna be like, okay, like perfect. But as soon as you put it out on day three, now you got to go 23 days where you either completely trust these people, like I said, not going to happen very often, or that information is going to get spread and now everyone knows about your advantage and half of the power of the surprise of it is completely wasted. So it's just a bad move.
And already with the amulet being a not really that big of a surprise, it's more of a target on your back because it's
I don't know. Think she revealed the amulet though.
No, but
the extra vote she got from the prisoners to win the game, I think, right?
Okay, you're right. Sorry, words matter. But also, just real quick, Jack, when we was in South Africa and I got the idol, did I reveal it to you?
You did.
Okay. And did you stab me in the back?
No, I didn't stab you in the back. Okay. I stabbed Ramona in the back.
Oh.
And it didn't work out.
But you ain't tell me about the move that you was making.
Mm. Okay. It's different.
How would it work out for you, though?
I mean, I don't have to, how to work out for you. I mean, we both lost.
I mean, I came,
I was just a fan. I had my buff sleeve. I was like, I got to make a move. Got to be independent. But no, well, in that situation, like we were,
we had trust and that was like solidifying the trust that I should not have had in you.
Whoa. And I will say, going back to that whole thing, like I didn't realize that idol had to be used by Final Seven. So if we had had that information,
I knew it.
I would have played it differently. Yeah, I mean,
okay. Okay, sounds like there's some unfinished business between these two about South Africa. We were all there, but I guess the two of them just are still beefing about it. I let that go. Listen,
you got smoke in South Africa too, Win DC.
The last Premier's boot. he's just hugging the. He won one though, so you're doing all right.
If we need to go there,
sorry, because Spicy Brycey came out and cussed Wendell out.
Yep,
Jack was the moderator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Much like this episode.
Yeah, Wendell stopped talking to me. Wendell was like, fun. Jack, talk to your boy.
Get your boy. Was it the blow dart challenge?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, I was pissed. Sorry,
I was throwing
that they were throwing. And listen, Wendell's like, we gotta allow the fans to have some fun. Excuse me, I'm a fan.
Screw the fans.
Okay, I come to play. Spicy Brycey was, first of all, I was ready to end the friendship there. Okay. I really was. And good thing Wendell had knew me enough at that point, because I was hot and okay, I'm getting hot now.
Wendell just needed his nightly massages from the fans.
That's when they were Wendell-tized.
I didn't get any massages out there, but
I feel like I remember. I don't know. Maybe the smoke from the fire had my vision blurry, but
that is right. They are bringing you blankets and food.
Okay. Okay. How about this, Bryce? Remember when my tribe won and we went to see the rugby game, the rugby match?
No.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you about this. If I could, when you pulled me aside, you said, Jack, you're my ally. Here's a little biltong that I stole for you. I really did you do that with like everybody though? Or was that?
I did it with you and Jack, with you and Bryce.
Oh, okay. I was like, it would be a really smart social play to just do that with every player. And then, so I didn't know if we were up to something, but
I smuggled some food out for y'all.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that.
You ain't tell me this is to build no relationship. I got the Billiton from Jack.
I'm the plug, bro.
You got the what?
The Peloton.
The Bulletin.
The Billabong. Surf company.
All right. Last to those listening, Biltong is like an elevated form of
beef jerky.
Yes. In South Africa. It's delicious. So, but we got a little sidetracked because you guys wanted to beef over.
And the truth comes out that you shady.
I am not shady.
But anyways,
I brought y'all both Biltong.
Who did you give the Peloton to?
I told Jack to share the Peloton with you.
And we all know Jack can't be trusted.
I shared it with you, bro. I don't know. I gave you over 50%.
How did we get here?
Because okay. Bryce is salty that he accidentally idled me out and I accidentally did it to myself. So,
but I just was also proving to the point of Jack that you were saying that you should not use an advantage to bring in someone to the alliance, but also you should not use an advantage to cement an alliance.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. So, you know, so early. Yeah. We're on the same page. Do you think differently or what do you
well,
think?
Well, to that, I will say that a lot of people nowadays share every like it's like loose lips out here nowadays. But what I will say, if we can go back a few seasons to Ghost Island.
Oh, God.
Me and my buddy Dom were close from the beginning. We got blindsided like third bootish, you know, Bryce bootish around there. And at that point, that was when just after a swap, the Navidi people came over. We thought we were working with them and they were not working with us so they could have their pick. They could blindside me, Dom, or Morgan. Thank goodness they voted for Morgan. Sad for Morgan. She's incredible. But me and Dom came back to camp and we were just defeated. And like, what are we going to do? How are we going to fight to get through the next day? And we're down by the water just chatting. And Dom was like, yo, I got something. I got the idol. And I'm like, word. But at that point, we were already like, we were already very close. And at that point, it was more so like, dude, let's do this.
Hail Mary.
Let's use this. Let's figure this out. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It's not like, hey, when I got an idol, can we be friends? Or hey, when I got an idol, can we start? We were already cemented and we had already taken a blow at that point. And that was something to kind of like give encouragement. So that was a different use, but it was him sharing this.
Here's a hot take. I should have kept that idol to himself.
No, but I do think that is the situation where, especially if you're like at the bottom with someone, you need to make a move.
I feel like we're all in agreement that is the time to share when you need to. Other than that, keep it to yourself.
Almost remember David versus Goliath when all of them came together with all of their little like powers.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That was popping.
Yeah.
But so speaking there are times of Ghost Island, I feel like there was another thing that came about Ghost Island in the challenge.
Yes, there was. Do you want to jump to the challenge?
Should we talk about Big Mike first?
So let's go ahead. Let's just jump over to the Vadi Green Tribe.
Talk about sharing advantages.
Describe it, Wendell.
Well, so we jump over to, there was a commercial, then we got over to
what was the commercial?
Not there was a commercial.
My notes are very specific.
Okay, so also let's just, so real quick, because let me just take some time to clown Wendell. So Wendell and I watched Survivor together yesterday. And when I watch Survivor, I want to have a good time. Like I enjoy watching Survivor, Jack.
I think most people that watch Survivor would agree with that.
He didn't pull out the charcuterie board.
Loud.
I am. I'm that type of person. Like, what he say? What they do? And Wendell's like, be quiet. And so, Jack, I look over at Wendell. He is in the corner with his laptop on his lap, like
diligent.
So the fact that
that's me in the library.
So the fact that he just said,
There was a commercial.
You got the actors in the commercial written down, Wendell?
Well, there was a commercial for the bootleg Survivor, which came on after.
Did any of you watch that?
I watched it. We'll talk about that on a different podcast.
It looks like, Survivor Borneo.
It was hot. God. That was a good season. Shout out to Ramona.
So anyway, after the commercial, we're on the Vati tribe, the green tribe. Mike is searching for an idol. He's like looking. And I'm, you know, I had a feeling he was going to find something. He finds the Beware Advantage, which is a three-way shared idol where he has to say the term. There is such grace in a game of soccer. It makes me cry.
Love that. I feel like this was one of the tweaks that they made that we have to see the other ones because I know one something got to do something with potato, but I felt like you could assimilate this very easily into something that you would say.
Should we do a practice? Like if you were on the mat, how would you work this in? Okay. Anyone, y'all want to kick it off or?
All right, go ahead, Jackery.
Okay. I think I'd say, you know, can one of you be Jeff? Ask me a question. About, you know, the challenge.
Jack, you guys lost the challenge by 3, but you never gave up. What were you thinking?
Man, Jeff, these challenges, they're so competitive. It's kind of like sports. I'm a big sports guy back home. I love soccer. When you're with a team, like we are with our tribes, there's just so much going on. And it's like soccer, you know, there's such grace in the game of soccer. It makes me cry. So battling with these people out here right now, it has me emotional. I love my tribe and
I'm going to cry.
Yeah. So let me get my vote back and give me that idol. But Bryce, and this is me as Jeff Probst.
You don't say.
But Bryce, Jack, you have to do it at the beginning, not after a challenge. Yeah. So do it like Jeff is talking to you before a challenge.
But wait, Wendell, after the commercial?
After the commercial. Can you hit me with another question just to get me in character?
And just for all intensive purposes, this is episode 4.
Okay. Is that relevant to what I would say?
I'm just not a third boot right now.
Okay. Oh, so you're since you're here, it's
like, I'm here.
Wait. He can't say anything to get him kicked off.
I guess you gotta say it before the challenge. But you could just tweak it. Be like going into this challenge. It's just my emotions are high. Like it's like playing sports. There's so much grace in the game of soccer. I love soccer. Like it makes me cry. Shit. Like,
well, Jack, you did a great job answering the question on the fly, but Bryce just didn't do a good job asking the question because he made it seem like it was after the challenge.
Sorry, it was the commercial break for me, Wendell.
Do you want to try this out, Bryce?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Bryce, surprised you're still here after the second episode. Going into this challenge today, is there a sense of cohesiveness that's developed between you and your team?
It is, Jeff. It's like it reminds me of when I was like 3 years old and I was playing soccer. We were all together and thinking about soccer. It's the mirror.
So Bryce didn't want to use.
You
the
just
quote
pulled
on
Brad. Yeah, you just pulled on Brad. Broccoli. I look like broccoli.
Look at my little head. It looks like broccoli. That.
All right. So Bryce is not. Don't. If Bryce, have you seen a Beware Advantage on Second Chance? Do not grab it.
Leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to because I would mess the word. I would read the words wrong,
like you just did. To activate this idol, you gotta say.
When Survivor does that, Wendell, third time player, great to have you back. What are your thoughts before we get into this challenge and after this commercial break?
Well, Jeff, how's it going? It's good to see you. This challenge looks like it requires some serious grace. I can see that, and I'm a very emotional kind of guy, but I see that balance beam over there, and you know what, it reminds me of my childhood playing soccer. There's so much grace in the game of soccer, it makes me cry. And I just I wouldn't have been good at that,
Jack.
But I would have been better than Bryce.
But I live to see another day.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Mike's advantage, his three-way shared idol that he now has no vote until it gets unlocked. But then we jump over to the Orange Tribe. Well, Jonathan is showing Omar how to chop open the coconut.
Wait, can we backtrack real quick? I'm sorry, because a lot happened with Mike and that advantage that I don't know if you were going to circle back to it, but I feel like it warrants.
Are you talking about him telling Jenny and whatnot?
I mean, I'm talking about him losing it. He loses
that
it.
Comes
in the
up.
Tree.
That comes up.
Okay, and then him telling like Daniel and stuff. Are we gonna?
Yeah, I think that comes. I think we get. Well, we can do that now if you want, but I think that comes up. I think that's a little cut.
All right, where my fault. I just want to make sure we talked about that because at some point,
Ed took very intricate notes, Jack.
I should never have doubted you. My fault. But no,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed that.
Is it in your notes, or should we just hop into it?
Well, let's hop into it. So what happened, Jack?
So Mike finds it and, you know, he loses his vote until all the idols are activated or the merge. It's the same thing as last season. And so in his mind, he's like, OK, I'm losing my vote. I kind of understand his logic. Now I might have to share this with someone so that they can help cover my back, because if I'm just out here with no vote, people are going to be making plans with me and I can't even like back that vote up. So he goes to Jenny, shares it with her. She seems like a very solid ally for him. And then he goes to Daniel, who goes to show Daniel and first and foremost loses where he hid the idol, which I thought was hilarious. Cause he was like, I hid it at a fork in the road. And Daniel's like, there's 2,000 forks in the road here, Mike. Bryce, what were you? I was going to say,
I think that it, since words do matter, Mike did share with Jenny that he had an idol, but he said it was just a regular idol. He didn't share much to go with it. So I felt like for me, I was just like, why are you not telling her everything? And I feel like that's a mistake. Now, mind you, we love Mike. We love Hoboken Mike, but it was very strategic of him not sharing that with her, and he shared everything with Daniel.
With Daniel. So he finally finds the idol after running around looking for it forever, and he gives Daniel the whole breakdown about, you know, what he has to say, things like that. And Daniel takes this information to Chanel, not necessarily maliciously towards Mike, you know, but just to have that, because Daniel at this point, he and Chanel seem like pretty close allies. They want to use this information together to figure out the best way to handle Mike's possession of this advantage. And I actually think, and first and foremost, I like that he shared it with her. They can decide, you know, do we cut Mike to avoid this advantage? Do we keep him around? But I think his kind of conclusion to convince Mike not to say the phrase at all was really, really, really smart and really underrated, because if Mike never says the phrase, you keep Mike with no vote. You keep all of the idols not active. And at this point, Mike's the only person who's found this beware advantage, but there might come a point where, you know, people on the other tribe are waiting for someone else on another tribe to say their phrase. And it just kind of goes into a vicious cycle where no one wants to say it because they're worried nobody else will say it. And so by Daniel convincing Mike not to say it, at least for the time being, Daniel's ensuring that A, there's fewer people with votes in the game, and there's no beware idols in the game, which I think was really, really smart and underrated from Daniel. So what were your thoughts on that?
Daniel, he had a quote. He said, I have all the knowledge and like none of the downside. I think that was something he said. And that's true, because Mike kind of showed him everything. So now he knows the quotes and he knows that people need to say it, and he knows the power and how the power can get stronger and stronger, these things. So, and I thought it was good and solidifying for him to tell that and share that with Chanel. And he said that he either doesn't want them to ever be activated. You can either vote Mike out or just tell him to say nothing. And those are, that's a very smart take. So Daniel, this man is sharp. It was hilarious to see Mike looking for these idols. And then Mike posted something funny on his Instagram today. I don't know if you guys saw that.
About Stan Mike or which
No, one? It was him in the firehouse. He was looking for the idol under the fire engine. And then his boys rolled up on him like, Mike, what are you doing? He's like, I'm still looking for the idol. They're like, well, keep looking.
Damn. I also thought it was so funny when Mike was explaining the twist to Daniel. This had me LOLing. When Mike was explaining it and Daniel was like, oh wow, like Jeff did a really good job with this twist.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, you're giving Jeff. I thought it was such like a meta. Daniel's commentary really has me enjoying it. And I think Daniel handled the whole thing super well. Cause I think for me, you know, in things like South Africa where we played, I think the biggest thing that I like to do is share information with people that's kind of already openly accessible. And you're just kind of the first one there because it's really not valuable information. Like I wouldn't want to share my advantage, but if I know someone else has an advantage, you share that with someone else, it's probably going to get out anyways. And now the person you share it with is like, oh, they came to me with this information, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. So I think Daniel really, really, really played this super well and now kind of has like a really good lock on the whole dynamic of the tribe.
Yeah, I thought what Daniel did was great. I just worry that, well, one, I thought was so interesting, just like last season with Xander finding this idol and having like being somewhat forced to share it with other people. And so interesting, the same thing happened that happened this season. So I thought that was also interesting because at the same time, I feel like Survivor is experimenting with this. And I definitely think this is something that should stay. But also with me, with Mike, what took me out was Mike and that buff bun. Okay. Him with the buff and the bun running around looking for it had me dying. And I took to the Twitters to say, like, not Mike with the buff bun trendsetter. And Bebe, the Twitter spheres quickly got me together and said that War Dog was the originator of the buff bun. And I said, and I, whoo.
Can you model it for us?
We should do a buff bun off.
I'm not gonna toot my own horn, but I might have had a buff bun at some point too. Let's give it to our boy War Dog, friend of the show.
Yes.
How we gonna do this?
Okay. What buff
do you guys have?
I don't remember exactly what it looked like. Honestly, I was so busy laughing.
Let me see what I can do.
I'll get some styles going.
Let me see what I can do over here.
Uh-oh. Bryce is going to do something ridiculous.
No, because I only got one buff.
That's a lie.
I only got one buff. I was only one time. Am I revealing mine first?
I could use some style inspiration. I mean, should we all style off?
Okay. Mike might have had the buff bun, but I got the buff bang. Okay.
Do
the swoo-de-doop.
Get that swoo-de-doop out of here.
Okay. Mike Hoboken, what you got?
Hoboken Mike.
Hoboken. Words matter.
And Perp, I feel like I've seen you with this hairstyle before.
We call it the rat tail. At the top.
Don't do that.
How'd you get the bun at the top?
I just got
the beanie.
Oh. Not Emo Jack.
All right, let's do this.
Oh, okay. I like that. Oh.
This should be an emo on Survivor.
All right, now everybody just smile.
They wouldn't share any advantage.
Hold on, mine ain't ready.
Wait, I gotta get the hair looking.
No, I like the hair like that, though, Jack. Now, describe to the people what we are doing, Wendell.
Yeah, so right about now, we all have buffs in buns. We all have the buff buns. We have myself.
Well, can we get a top view of you, Wendell?
You can't see my.
Top. Oh, never mind. It's looking.
You might have had that. That might have been the photo of you and Dom like.
So we have. Jack rocking the what buff do you have, Jack?
I got the green trout from the season. Is that the nope.
I will say it's the Vati tribe.
Vati, yeah.
And Jack is rocking the Vati tribe. He has his hair parted down the middle. Kind of, his hair is growing a little longish. So it's kind of in his face a little. He's kind of doing a little Xander action right now. But the buff is looking sharp. And let's see the buff bun.
I don't know how to. I don't know how to get the buff. I just got the. It's more of a.
Hey, you got to tie it in a knot and then put it up there. So get your life together, Mr.
We're not going with the Joe Anglum ruined the bun, so we're just going with the
no comment
with okay. The wizard hat.
For those watching, we have myself. I have the Ghost Island merge buff, the authentic. Right,
was that
from
actually
the
one you wore on
the one that I wore on the island? It has the skull. It's a beautiful this Ghost Island logo is probably one of the top logos that they've ever made.
I'd love to add that to my collection.
And then we have the purple one himself. Bryce, what buff is that?
Salona.
Bryce Solana. Doesn't even know the name of his tribe anymore, ladies and gentlemen. But he said...
Is that the authentic one too, Bryce?
Oh, this is the authentic one.
Oh, Bryce, ladies and gentlemen, is wearing an authentic Salami Bryce. But it has a purple weave sticking out the top of it. It has a bun. I don't know where the hair is coming from, but he has some purple curls. He's doing the most right now. Surprise, surprise. And his Survivor logo is upside down.
Is it or is it the camera? Now, all right. Now, let's all just get in the camera close so that people can take a look at us. Listen, I want to see these photos on Twitter. Who has the best Survivor buff bun? Hold on, wait. Maybe my bang might be in my eye. Hold on.
Did you take it or no? Are you taking it, Bryce?
No, the viewers will screenshot this for us. Oh, wait, where my hair go?
It's a look. Do a boomerang. 2023.
Okay, enough.
All right.
Back to business. Now, we got a little disorganized with how the episode was going because my good friends wanted to jump right to Mike losing the idol and telling everyone about it. But in between this, there was a time on the Taku tribe, the orangish, reddish, orange. Is it orange or red?
Orange-esque.
On the orange-esque tribe where Jonathan shows Omar how to chop the coconut because he's over there, you know, he's trying it. It's not looking so good. And Jonathan's like, maybe I could show you and then, you know, you'll learn and you'll be able to do it better. And then we get a confessional from Jonathan where he says, I can look in Omar's eyes and I could see that he trusts me. Bryce, aww, your take?
Jonathan, do me a favor real quick.
Oh, no. Okay, for those not watching, Bryce just put his eyes very wide right up to the camera and something else very wide, and we're not even going to discuss that.
Oh, God.
Oh. So then Omar calls them the odd couple. And
Omar is the brain shield.
Yes. And John is the
body shield.
Meat shield.
Keep
it together.
Bryce is losing it. Bryce,
I could go.
Bryce is going to turn that shield into a sword.
I could go for a meat shield about now. But okay.
Then Jonathan says that he and Lindsay are close and that he wants to get closer with Mariah. Then we have an emotional is it a confessional from Mariah when she talks about her brother, James, who was the first healthcare worker to pass from COVID in the United States. I want to just take this moment to just send love to all the healthcare workers that have fought through this pandemic, all the first liners, responders. We appreciate you. We love you. And I'm sorry to hear about Mariah's brother. But yeah, we got that emotional confessional.
1,000%. And I think that sometimes when people go on Survivor, you know, a lot of people, the one thing that resonated with me so much with Mariah was that a lot of people go on Survivor to win $1 million. And I feel like her purpose to go on Survivor was like to get healing, to get some type of closure. And I can distinctly remember season 30,
Mike Holloway's
season reminded me of Rodney, with Rodney with his sister. And that, you know, when Rodney was out there, he felt as though he got the closure that he needed and didn't expect it. So I just, much respect to Mariah for just being so vulnerable and sharing that. I definitely know what it's like to lose a brother, and just for her to be able to share that. And somehow, some weird way, there is the connection that you can connect with things that you don't normally every day that we try to like put away. The island has a weird way of bringing that out, because there is no TV. There is no, you know, you're stuck with these people and you're stuck with your emotions. So I definitely loved her being so vulnerable and sharing that with us.
Agreed. And you, when you go on that island, you have these like deep and profound things that sometimes come to you, and these experiences, like, because you're stripped down to the bare minimum, sometimes you have these moments and these epiphanies and other things. So I hope she was able to find, you know, some kind of closure or something out there in her time. Moving forward, we had another commercial.
What were they advertising?
Probably that other show again that comes on after Survivor.
I feel like Ray Lewis is getting more screen time than Heather out here.
It was Meta World Peace for me.
It was the girl from Full House. What was it?
Oh, Stephanie Tanner.
Jody Sweeney or something.
Yeah, she was out there. And then the lady from New York Housewives. What is it? I don't watch any of these shows.
Wait, New York Housewives. Alex, Jill, who?
A lady with...
red hair?
She's a black woman. Nah. She's an attorney.
Oh, she was from the last season. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should have seen her in the quicksand. They had to wade through quicksand, bro.
Oh.
Yeah, they were getting stuck. Anyway, Damn. This is not... What is that show called?
Survivor Born to You?
Well, this is not a... whatever that show's called podcast, but... It's fun. It's kind of fun to watch, I guess. Anyway, I'm not bashing that show. We had that commercial. Now it's day five. It's a challenge. It is a challenge for immunity and reward. The first tribe will get this massive fishing gear kit. Second tribe will get a little less fishing gear. Third tribe will get to go to tribal council and vote somebody out.
What a reward.
What a reward. Marianne pulls up. She sees that her crush Zach got voted out, and she tells everyone that her crush got voted out. She says she has a 100% rejection rate with people that she likes. Bryce, what's your rejection rate with people that you like?
About 96. So no, I felt that again. Here's the thing that I love about Marianne is, and we think that she's so funny, but in these moments of vulnerability that she shares with such lighthearted, there has been a time in my life that I have felt that way. And just for her to share that, and also wants me to just say, like, since you are a beautiful queen, and to anybody that is rejecting you, they don't see your worth and they aren't worthy of the Marianne-ness that you are. And you are beautiful, you are deserving, and we love you. Period.
Period. Yes. Period. I'm sure her DMs probably flooded with some potential suitors right now. So, but yeah, like you said, I love her transparency. Like, and she said that, you know, at the marooning too, she was just, just anything that comes to her mind, she's just putting it out there. It's always so funny and charismatic and open and honest. So I thought that was such a funny storyline to introduce, kind of reminiscent of the Billy Garcia Candace romance from Cook Islands.
Oh,
but yeah, it was a really funny start to the challenge. But
Jack, would you announce your crush on Survivor?
I think if they went home, I would probably. I'd be more than happy to be like,
yeah,
she hate to that. See the loss.
Bryce, would you announce your crush on Survivor?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would. Not while they're in the game, though. Not,
I mean, I think I would. I think that there's a different level in crushes and also like being able to admire a Zaddy. I think that I would admire Zaddies. I don't think that I would reveal crushes like somebody that I actually thought that they were potential. Yeah. But also, you know, in my day and age of Survivor, there was only ever one token gay player. So, you know, who knows? Like, you know, like, I mean, the possibilities
are now endless. Now, I was on a season where someone revealed their crush on Winners at War. Our good friend Nick Wilson told Parv that she was his Survivor crush. Nick Wilson did better than both of us on that season. So, I mean, there's that. So,
Nick said, when I was 12 years old, I loved you.
Yeah.
We love Nick Wilson, though.
Yeah. So fast forward a little bit. This is the blindfold challenge where there is one caller on a platform and he has to send these groups out, or he or she, they have to send these groups out to go retrieve puzzle pieces while they're blindfolded through an obstacle course. Very fun challenge to watch. We had this challenge on Ghost Island. That was awesome. And yeah, what did you guys think of the challenge? Lydia was a great caller, by the way.
First of all, Queen Lydia, love her. Freakiest freak vibes. This challenge was a little triggering for me because this was the challenge after on Kageon, after I got eliminated. This was the next episode challenge. So I felt little ways about it. But I love the challenge. I think that I would have been a great caller. A lot of pieces to manage. I think that Lydia did okay. I think Jonathan kind of sort of drowned a little bit in the beginning. And I think that Drea held her own consistently.
Jonathan sounded like a professional wrestler when he was screaming. But
Where I was going though.
Marianne ran into something, and the expletive that she chose to use was shivel sticks, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah.
And then we had Mike running. I think it was Mike, right? Or no, Roxroy. Ran ball first, and it cuts to Dave and be like, gotta protect the nuts, Roxroy. Just dead serious. Daniel had a lot of good one-liners this episode. I thought it was so funny.
He was and then great it cut back to bench.
And then it cut back to Rox would be like, oh.
Yes.
I'm never a big fan of the blindfold challenges, I'll be honest with you. And I feel like I've seen a lot of the Survivor fandom being like, why do they keep doing it? It's a good way for people to get hurt, for one. And it's, I don't know. It was a very exciting challenge. Well, I will say, in Second Chances, they did the blindfold challenges where they have to move like the huge pieces.
Oh,
that I feel like is because you drop one on like your shin or something. I mean, Daniel's gonna be like, gotta protect the shin, Wendell, or something like that. But this one was solid, and it came down to the wire, which was really exciting to watch. And I was thinking Blue was gonna lose, so I was definitely surprised when the Green Tribe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Orange
Tribe won. Ghost Island, Green Tribe won too. So Green Tribe won this one. Blue came in second, and the Red Taku Tribe loses. And that means that they gotta go to Tribal. We get back to the Red Tribe. Omar says to Jonathan that it's gonna be Mariah or Marianne. Mariah says it should be Marianne because of how frazzled she gets and whatnot. Marianne says it should be Mariah. Obviously, these two are going to be gunning for each other. Marianne starts looking for an idol. Lindsay and Mariah see her. What did she say? She said something.
I'm just looking for those plants that you were looking for before that we can eat. I was like, Marianne.
Like, that's what you want to look for right now?
Yeah. It was a very cut and dry vote, it seemed like. I mean, I think Jonathan, Omar, and Lindsay have a really good core of three that I could see going deep into the game. So it was really just weighing that the pros and the cons between cutting each of them. Marianne knew they were going for Mariah, and Mariah knew they were going for Marianne. But I did like the sort of, you know, character building that came out of it. Like, I thought this was a great episode. Tribal was not the most exciting, but not every tribal is going to be crazy. So if you could set up these characters where going forward, each boot is going to have more weight and all, those blindsides are going to hit harder. I mean, that's about as much as you can ask for in a sort of cut and dry vote like this.
I also think that it is good. I've never been able to be in the majority of this, but I also think it was really well how Omar, Jonathan, and who was the other person?
Lindsay.
I think it was great how they, instead of letting chaos ensue, like, I liked how they came to the consensus and then approached each of the other person to in the event that they had an idol, an event. So, like, you know, there was a method to that. And I thought that that was, like, thinking back to Kagyan, the crowd control that Garrett might have maybe wanted to sort of have, but could not pull it off.
Yeah.
And also that could be a result of this shot in the dark being in play. Like, all right. Now we got to really be smart with how we navigate these blindsides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I also realized last season, remember I could not understand the numbers of the shot in the dark. So I now get it that it is more beneficial to use the shot in the dark when you're on these tribes as opposed to like in the merge. Or no, I'm wrong again.
Why do you say that, Bryce?
Because the numbers are smaller.
But Bryce, it's always a 1 in 6 chance in that. In that shot in the dark,
even when you merge, right?
Well, I think it's always 1 in 6, but I don't disagree with Bryce though, because as the numbers go down, your likelihood of getting voted out in theory goes up. So the benefit of playing the shot in the dark is more valuable.
Your likelihood, if people use it,
like your vote, but your vote does matter more. I guess it's kind of linear. Like, say there's 100 people on your tribe and you have a 1 in 6 chance at safety. It's like, there's not really a reason to use it, I guess. But it's also like, if you lose your vote, it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah.
No, it is interesting to think about, because the value of the safety is more important when there's fewer people, right? But the value of your vote is also more important.
Right.
But I do think, if you're more confident you're going home, it's more valuable to use it.
Right. Okay.
So yeah.
But how is it still 1 in 6 when we merge and we merge at 10?
Because there will always be, it's always going to be a shot in six at getting it.
So, oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's
because they don't want to make it like a 1 in 12 when it's at the merge. Cause that's just so.
The odds are always that.
So I don't think I'll explain that last time, but now I get it. Okay.
Although, last season, wasn't there like an episode where maybe I'm misremembering, where they put like, it was like a 2 in 6, there was like 2 of them, or they made it so there was 12 scrolls and 2 save. So yeah, 2 in 12. Yeah.
So still 1 in. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Opposed to another way to do it would be as people draw and get the,
to take them out. So
next one will be 1 in 5.
I like that. But then
that's a little overpowered, because say it becomes like 1 in. Well, it would be. It's like, oh, so say it gets down to like 1 in 3, right? Like, you have such a good chance, but it's like if you gamble and you lose, then one vote is now. If someone doesn't gamble, then they have a vote that ties it up.
That can get dangerous.
That's pretty dangerous.
But couldn't it also get dangerous? I'm just saying, like, if they take them out, but then like you get down to 3-4 people, and then you know that like it would, I don't know. You could just strategically to like, okay, if Wendell just went home and he played it and he didn't, then listen, I'm rolling the die. Like,
I think they replace them.
They do, but we were just tweaking the rule.
Oh yeah. If it's like less and less every time. Yeah, no, it is interesting, because there's that, it's like that pay, it's like a linear payoff between like how much your vote matters, but how much like your odds of being safe matter.
Right.
I actually like the shot in the dark a lot. If you're getting in a tribal, because it's not super strong. Like, it's just a 1 in 6 chance, but that small chance can really change players' thinking. Like Marianne says in Tribal, she's like, you could have your plan A, sub plan A, and then you might go to your plan B, sub plan B, and then plan C, all because of this one little thing. And honestly, me, I feel like a lot of times I might overthink, you know, my contingency plans, because my thinking here, and we talked about this a little bit last week, Bryce, was if Marianne and Mariah both know that they're the two targets. It's clear their individual vote doesn't matter. So they should both, you know, play their shot in the dark, in my opinion. And if I'm one of the three, I don't know if there's only, if there's six scrolls and only one shot, like one safe, then it doesn't matter. But my sort of thinking was, say somehow they both do it and they're both safe. Now that it's your alliance of three. So maybe it makes sense to like, I was thinking of something during the episode. I was like, maybe there's a situation where you want to like split the vote onto like someone else just in case, or if like, I don't know. It adds a lot of like layers of thinking. Cause
not to cut you off while you ponder this.
No, you're good. I don't even know.
Yeah. You still pondering. We don't know if Marianne played that extra vote. Cause Jeff
Jeff
only read three votes.
I don't think she
wouldn't make sense because,
but she wouldn't know though. Like,
no, it would, because if they're choosing to vote for either her or Mariah, then that amount of votes will be more than that, her and an extra vote.
Yeah. That's why if I'm Marianne, I'd probably just play my shot in the dark too. Cause it's like,
what's the point? Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Your vote doesn't really matter.
That's one way to do it.
That is one way to do it.
But then you come back and they're like, what, you didn't trust us?
Well, that's what we talked about last week. That's like the down, because I was saying, you know, if Tori knows it's between her and Zach, maybe Tori should have played her shot in the dark too. But it's just like, then it's like that benefit of that 1 in 6 safety. But the downside is you're sort of telling your alliance like, hey, I was worried. So,
but I mean, my argument to that was, yeah, I'm going to be worried. My name is coming up.
Well, if you go back to camp, you could be like, A, you know, what if they played an idol? So I want to be safe. B, I think you can just say the same logic. Be like, look, if it was between me and them, I trusted you guys 99%. But on that 1% chance that you guys are coming for me, my vote doesn't matter either way. So I'm just going to play it and try to be safe. So we didn't see it a lot last. We've already seen it more in 42 than we did in 41. And I think it is a good little like, you know, it's a low chance. It's not super strong, but it makes people think about contingency plans. And the best players, like we talked about last week, Bryce, with these little twists where you have to get creative, the best players are going to make their contingency plans properly. And the bad players are going to fumble a little bit. And that could even be making too many contingency plans. Like you could be overthinking it and then screw yourself over. So
I
thought it was pretty interesting.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, and ultimately, who goes home?
Yeah, ultimately, Mariah goes home.
But wait, finish the statement. Me and Mariah
go back like babies and pacifier. Oh, dirty dog, no liar. Keep the fantasy hot like fire. Jump, let me see you do the stuff. Girls, let me see you shake your rump. Fellas, do it from the back and up and just do it. I'm a man country.
Okay.
Too much?
That was right. I was just waiting for the Mariah part, but okay.
Can you send me these songs in advance so I can learn them?
Jack, that was
Jack Harlow next episode.
Jack, you weren't born yet, brother.
It comes with the know-it-all.
It does. It does.
Yeah, that's all I got.
So yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited. Survivor News is back. The three baby boys are back. Go ahead, Jack.
I just want to real quick. I mean, if you guys were in the shoes of Jonathan, Lindsay, and Omar, what would you have picked? Would you have sent home Marianne or would you have sent home Mariah? And we touched on this a little bit in the beginning of the episode, but I just want to hear your thoughts.
I think I would have probably, no shade, I probably would have sent Mariah home, only in the sense of my thinking that if Marianne's energy is rubbing people the wrong way, I want to get close with her and I want to make her one of my stronger alliances.
Okay. And I hear that. I question, because Marianne is a lot, like she's a over the top personality, right? But an edit can do a lot also. So True. We could be seeing a lot of that out of, you know, like, so I don't know. Maybe she's more, maybe, Bello. Or just like those like larger than life moments aren't as much as we, I don't know. So
Honestly, I feel like if I were out there, I don't think it would be Mariah or Marianne going home. Because
so who do you think it would be?
I would probably target Jonathan.
What? Well, I mean, I would. From the perspective of that alliance, but like, say you were in Omar's shoes and you were playing instead of Omar and you had your own views, why would you target Jonathan?
I mean,
too much of a zaddy.
I mean,
yeah, you'd be in love. What are you talking about?
Listen, lust, not love, but I'm just saying if I were out there and if I were in the Omar position, I probably would identify and connect more with Marianne and Mariah. And I think that we would be a tighter core. And I don't know if I would want to sacrifice any of them.
Well, I see that as a potential alliance for you for sure. But Jonathan over Lindsay, you think?
Or I mean, maybe even Lindsay too. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, I was when I thought about the question, I said, actually, like, me being out there would actually could possibly change the dynamic, and not that we would be in an alliance, but I'm just saying that, like, I might have a, I don't know, but Jonathan could have told me to look into his eyes and listen, it would have been Mariah. So I don't know.
At the end of the day, you would have wanted to be on that tribe with Jonathan as long as possible.
You're right.
We know that
maybe one day he'll know I exist. Hey, Jonathan, Jonathan Stan podcast, Meet Shield podcast. We here.
So ultimately our girl Mariah goes home, sadly. And then there were what, 15? Are we at 15 now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The ultimate third boot. Excited to welcome Mariah to the club. It has been so much fun. Survivor News is back. I'm so excited to have Jack Wendell here breaking us down. I am looking forward to the next episode, which will bring another Survivor News episode. But before we go, it's important for Wendell to let the people know what is happening April 6th in the nation's capital.
Oh, for sure. We are having Bryce and Wen present the District 42 at Proper 21K. We are watching Survivor on April 6th, 8 p.m. Get your tickets. Link in my bio. Link in the Bryce and Wen present bio. Maybe link in Bryce's bio if you want to grab your tickets. We have some good guests coming and a very, very special surprise guest will be in the building.
And it's just like honey, where your love comes over me. Oh, baby, I had a dependency, and it's a taste of your honey. So show me whatever you want from me, and show me whatever you want from me, and honeycomb. Listen, we are singing Mariah Carey in homage to our girl Mariah, the third boot, and that is this week's Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News.
Hell yeah.
And that is going to conclude this week's edition of your Survivor News. We greatly appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. Listen, give us some feedback. Write us some comments on the YouTube. Tweet us. Let us know. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever there is podcasts available. Find us. Make sure you also tag along on YouTube. You can find it at Bryce Isaiah. Click the subscribe button. Give the video some thumbs up, okay? And don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend that words matter, because it's a. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.